make it, do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left, going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Vic Carucci coming to you actually from Indianapolis. I am here for the NFL Scouting Combine, not quite at the location of the Combine itself. That doesn't open up until tomorrow. That's Lucas Oil Stadium, and we'll be broadcasting for there for the next 2 days. But for today, I am in Indy, but in a studio in Indy, preparing to do a whole bunch of stuff for ClevelandBrowns.com as we focus our coverage on the Combine. And sitting in for the second day in a row for Nathan Zagura is our great friend Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network. He's in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Vic. 45 degrees and Cleveland under a full melt. Right now, the sun is out. The weather is unbelievably turned around amazingly. And, Vic, just on a world note to start the show off, I like to go outside the lines here on this one.
I love that you do.
If you were a Russian hockey player on the Russian national team, it's important to leave Russia as quickly as possible. Russia lost today and is out of the Olympic tournament. And Mr. Putin is not happy.
Mr. Putin would be very unhappy with that.
He's not happy.
No, that's a bad thing for them. But, that was the big news from the Olympics, and we're going to have big news about the Combine. We're going to break down some of the players, the what to look for while we're here, and we're going to go over some thoughts that Mike Mayock of NFL Network expressed. He is really enthusiastic about the combine, about the talent coming up in this draft, Jim. I mean, he's really, if let's put it this way, if this talent in this draft, if the Russian hockey team had that, Putin would be smiling right now.
Vic, I'll tell you what, and it's completely different, isn't it, from when they forecasted what the talent was going to be in last year's draft, which of course led to some of the Browns thinking about, you know, putting picks into this year's draft rather than taking them last year. So a couple of moves last year, you know, ended up, you know, with no picks in last spring's draft for the Browns, but those picks will come to reality this year because they traded into that because the forecast was that this draft was going to be richer in talent.
Right. And that was the thought. And that's why part of the reason why, at least we found out after the fact, why the Browns decided to trade up from the fourth and fifth round picks to get upgraded picks for this year. And we'll see if that proves to be something that's helpful to the team. Of course, the two gentlemen who were, and mainly the guy who was behind all that, are no longer with the team, Joe Banner and Michael Lombardi. But now it's Ray Farmer's show as general manager. Now it is Mike Pettine's show as head coach. And I think one of the things that's going to be very clear about how this team approaches this draft, Jim, is the two of them working together to identify the player fits on characteristics, qualities of what makes them up as men, as human beings. Toughness, competitiveness, how hard they work. These are the things that are going to be focused. And you say to yourself, well, aren't those obvious points?
Right.
Not necessarily. And especially not the way the Browns had gone about business, at least through last year's draft, the way Joe Banner saw things, which was much more so through the prism of numbers and analytics and all that would tell you what statistically you should do with a player's makeup. These guys want to see the guy that they can count on in the fourth quarter, that they can count on to be a good teammate, that they can count on to be loyal. I mean, all the things that they want to see in a player, in a human being, that's really what's going to happen over these several days of getting to know the talent, the 300 or so draft prospects that are going to be here in Indianapolis.
Yeah, and to break it down to its simple form, you know, if Mike Pettine's statement is we're going to be the toughest team on the field every Sunday, then that is indeed the overriding, you know, ingredient that he's going to be looking at players. Because even if you're the best skill level player and right. you can be dazzling. There's a toughness that's needed at certain points in each game on each Sunday afternoon. And, of course, I think, and we can even diagnose it even a little bit more, and it came in those moments in the fourth quarter last year in all of those games that slipped away from the Browns. There was something missing on the team.
Right.
There was an ingredient of toughness, and so now you get an opportunity to sprinkle a lot more of that into your roster, and you do it by finding and, as you said, identifying those players that Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine are going to have to weed through to try and come up with that ingredient and make it really a consistent thing throughout your roster.
Yeah, Jim, I mean, I think it was clear that that was lacking. And you cited the places where we saw where it was lacking, and you want to fix that. And how do you fix that? Well, you go into it, and this is the thing you got to know about Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine. I mean, they believe, they subscribe mainly to an older school thought process of how you find and identify players. You know, it's one thing to say Pettine's demeanor, his the toughness that he exudes is something that will be picked up by the players and something you feel throughout the roster.
Right.
But they'll play like they'll play to the attitude of their coach.
Or they won't play, right?
But it's one thing to say that. It's another thing, though, to fill your roster with the kinds of guys who can do that. And that's where this team really fell short, and that's what I think is going to change with what the two of these gentlemen in Farmer and Pettine try to accomplish, and what they've come here to look for in Indianapolis, where I think the greatest value that you get out of this combine, certainly the medical information on the
right.
players, but it's also those 15 minutes that you get to spend some quality time
right.
Sitting down in a room privately with a prospect and getting to know him a little bit and have him go through the drill of what is his football acumen, but mainly for those two guys, for Farmer and Pettine, it will be, what are you made of, son?
Yeah. You know, Vic, just the amazing thing, and I was thinking about it driving in today. I mean, here you are. You're down in Indianapolis, and I know you'll be joined by other people from the Browns organization to pump as much information back here to Cleveland as you possibly can over the period that you're down there for this combine. But the unbelievable reach of the NFL that has all of these different seasons. You have the preseason, you have the regular season, you have the postseason, and then as your good friend and partner with Sirius Radio and CBS Sports, Pat Kerwin always says, then there's the business season
right.
of the NFL. And fans just cannot get enough of the NFL. There is no down period. For instance, baseball fans right now are not worrying if the Indians had a real good infield practice today out in Arizona. But they are concerned about what's going on down in Indianapolis and how are these players measuring up to what the Browns are going to do, and already consumed with how it's going to lay out in May when that draft comes up. It's the power of the NFL and the reach of the NFL and how broad it is astounding, isn't it? More so than any other league, professional sports league in the world, really.
No, undoubtedly, you're so right about that, and I think there's a fascination behind this because it has many layers to it.
Yeah.
It isn't as simple as, okay, they're going to have about 300 guys here, prospects here, and that the representatives of 32 NFL teams get to know them a little better, watch the ones who are going to work out, how they work out, time them in the 40-yard dash, see how high they can jump, how far they can jump, how much weight they can lift, all of those things. Yeah, that's part of it. But the bigger part of it, too, is what is happening. You call it the business season.
Yeah.
And in addition to evaluating college prospects, simultaneous with that are getting to know what the rest of your roster is going to look like with regard
sure.
to players you have heading into free agency and which free agents you're going to pick up. So while they're here, Ray Farmer, while he's here especially, they're going to be agents here. Agents convene here. They have actually a conference at the combine. The competition committee shows up here to talk about some rules changes and get a first blush at that.
Mm-hmm.
All the public relations men of the league have a meeting here as well. So it becomes a congregation of football people in a lot of different layers. But as it applies to the Browns, I think the key questions are not only who do they like among the prospects or how do these prospects measure up to them, but it's also some work done to, hey, do you get Alex Mack done on a long-term
sure.
deal? What do you do with TJ Ward? Long-term deal, or do you franchise tag him? That franchise tagging decision, that's got to be made by March 3rd. That's coming up fast.
Yeah. Vic, news yesterday came out, and I was wondering your level of surprise or what the feeling would be down there with all of the NFL people. The news that the kid from Central Florida, Blake Bortles, was going to throw down at the Combine. Now, a lot of them have, you know, and this is not just this year. I mean, this has happened in the past, and it's become more of a trend that guys do not throw down there. They wait for their own workouts on their own college campuses or wherever they're training. But he decided he is going to throw. And what do you think the buzz is about that down there?
Yeah, the buzz is that, first of all, he's commended. The scouts and coaches love this. This is what they want to see. This is what they're here for, is to a good portion of their evaluations to see what these guys do on the field. Now, the reason it makes sense for Bortles to do this, I think it makes sense for all of them to do this, especially a Johnny Manziel who's not doing it, but a reason it makes sense for a Bortles, he kind of emerged from nowhere. He was one of the real sleeper prospects who came on sort of the middle part of last season, of last fall, and then emerged as someone that suddenly found himself in consideration among the top quarterbacks, maybe a top five guy. Mm-hmm. And the thinking is that he's got there's more that people need to learn about him.
Yeah.
And the feeling is with Manziel not throwing, with Teddy Bridgewater, I guess, not expected to throw, that Bortles could elevate himself to the very top of the draft, possibly be right there for the Houston Texans to take with that first pick. So from a financial gain standpoint, Jim, this is, if it's considered a gamble to the extent that, well, he doesn't know who he's throwing with and he might not look so good because of timing and rhythm being off, these aren't his college receivers, that risk, when you measure it against the reward of being the top pick of the draft, this is hugely intelligent for him to do. And not only that, not only could it get him to the top spot, but there is, you know, the Browns picking at number four. They'll get a look at him, and this will influence some of their thinking. It's not going to be the be-all, end-all. You've seen him play on tape, but it's going to be important.
And, Vic, if he had a rugged day throwing the ball down there, I mean, as you said, it's not the end-all of that. I mean, he could have his own workout then, and they come in and they watch him, you know, wherever he would do that, down at Central Florida or something like that, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah. He gets more opportunity. This is just one opportunity. So if you look at it, if you want to roll back to, say, the All-Star game, the Senior Bowl, that was one opportunity for the seniors, of course, who were part of that. Then you've got the Combine. This would be this week and what you can do here. Then you have the next phase, which is your on-campus or slash your private workout. In some cases, like Manziel, it'll be a workout even away from his college campus. He won't do it on the so-called pro day for Texas A&M, his college. He's going to do it separate from that. Fine, his choosing. It really means nothing until he does it. But what he's done by not throwing here is he's taken one opportunity away from himself to affect his draft stock. I mean, you affect it in one way or another by what you do physically. Now, can Manziel help himself in other ways here? Yes. The way he engages with the teams that interview him, definitely. And I think he's going to put on a show, Jim, because he's well-trained. He is following a marketing game plan to the T, starting last week with the interviews that he did with John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. It was brilliant because it's the new and improved, the remade version of Johnny Manziel, the reinvented Johnny Manziel. I'm a good guy off the field. I'm not just this party animal guy who's undisciplined. I can do the things that you want me to do. I'll be everything you want me to be, Houston Texans. Take me number one.
Yeah. I just want everybody to remember now that as these results and these workouts down in Indianapolis start to become public, don't freak out. Now, let's go back a few years ago. Vic, remember this. Joe Hayden had a slow time at the Combine in Indianapolis, and it came out as a major headline because Joe was recognized, and as we now know, very justifiably so, as the top corner coming out of college. But Joe had either a quad or a tight hamstring when he went down to Indianapolis to the Combine, and he ran a very slow 40, and people said it killed his draft stock. Now, the Browns and Tom Heckert at the time, you know, they were really locked on to him. But then Joe, a few weeks later, down in Tallahassee at the University of Florida Pro Day, was much more healthy, much looser, and he popped a great time at that point. And, of course, then the Browns steered right onto him. And look at how that's worked out. So you cannot get freaked out. As Vic mentioned, if Bortles goes out and has a rough day throwing the football, that doesn't mean that he doesn't have it. It was just a bad day. We all have them. And you just can't get locked onto one workout. And Joe Hayden's the perfect example of that, Vic.
That's the ideal illustration of exactly what we're talking about here. Can't get freaked out. Can't overplay what happens here in any form. And the coaches and the general managers and the team owners are smart enough to recognize that too. Unfortunately, there was a trend toward the super athletic performance being the thing that drives up stock. It still helps stock, but the fear was if a super athletic performance drives a person's stock way up, and a guy is the Mike Mamula factor, that to use a name from the
Ziggy
past.
Ziggy Ansah,
you know, guys like that who, by the way, Ansah played pretty well when he played as a rookie. But if that drives a guy's stock up, does a poor one do the same in the other direction? And that's not necessarily the case at all. And, again, the Joe Haden story is a perfect way to look at that. By the way, Terry Pluto is going to join us, the columnist, sports columnist for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. We'll get his perspectives on the changes within the Browns front office and hierarchy, what he thinks about that, what he thinks about this team's approach as Ray Farmer, as a first-time general manager, approaches the combine. He is the man in charge of the personnel. He's reporting directly to owner Jimmy Haslam. Want to hear what Terry Pluto has to say about that. Also going to hear from Gerard Cherry in hour number two. He'll make his regular appearance on the show. We want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Want those barks from the pound. And one of the questions we're going to get into, that if you are the Browns and you're picking fourth overall, are you taking a quarterback with that pick, or are you going to wait until later in the draft to do so? Want your thoughts on that? We'll share ours on that as well. Just getting this thing started. It is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I'm Vic Carucci in Indianapolis. He is Jim Donovan in Berea, and you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.